Question is, what does it mean that Hashem hardened Paro's heart? On a basic level, what did Hashem do? What does it mean that his heart was hardened? And why did Hashem do this? It seems strange because it's almost, we read in this parsha, and I have a source sheet, I'll bring it up on the screen soon. It sounds like it's almost a reassurance. It's, don't worry, I'll be able to take them out. And in this process, I'll harden Paro's heart. So what does it mean for Paro to have had his heart hardened? And why did Hashem do it? Do you have any ideas?
So, I mean, it seems the pasuk says that every one of the hardening was so that Paro eventually would realize that everything is Hashem. It's like it was almost forcing him to come to grips with that he's not in charge of Bnei Yisrael, and that Hashem, that Bnei Yisrael is I'm Hashem. It's not part of Paro's slavery business.
But the question is, why would making him more obstinate about refusing to let them go? Why would that help him realize this?
Because you see, at the end of the day, he pulls up his hands and he says, okay, let him go.
Right. So at the end of the day, it seems to work. And we'll see some of the commentaries explain how that worked exactly. Meaning, if you were to ask me, and I'm not Hashem, but if you were just ask me what I think would be most effective, even Laman Yedu, so think I would, that maybe Hashem could perform some miraculous thing, show, it doesn't even need to be a plague, show something impressive, and then maybe, oh, we'll see that clearly the favoritism was for Klal Yisrael, and therefore I should let them go.
Maybe it was not a lesson for Klal Yisrael.
It's also for Klal Yisrael as well. So and what do you think that lesson is?
That they have to have a Munah Hashem.
They have to have a Munah Hashem. But again, it comes down to, what about the hardened hearts? Why was that the mechanism that Hashem used?
Right.
And it's also, brings up a question, is, did Hashem take away Paro's free choice?
Yeah.
You said clearly yes.
Apparently yes, but not necessarily.
Right, it was ostensibly yes, or at least made him more resistant to allowing them to go. So I'll just pull this up. So we see in our parsha, it's one of the several times that it says that either Hashem intends to harden Paro's heart or that Paro hardened his own heart. It says, "Viniach shes late Paro, and I will harden Paro's heart. Here, basi esososai vesmososai eretz Mitzrayim, and I will increase my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt." So what's the purpose of this? So now it's just addressing the basic question of, if Hashem hardened Paro's heart, so did he take away his free will? And if he took away his free will, then is it really fair that to punish him with the plagues? It's like circular. If he took away his free will, so then Paro had no choice. And if he had no choice, why was he deserving a punishment? So there are different approaches that are taken to this. The Rambam actually says that, yes, Hashem took away Paro's free choice and took away his ability to repent. But what about with the fact that we say that Hashem waits for everyone to repent? He doesn't desire the death of the sinner, rather that the sinner should return. So the Rambam says that this in general is true. And the Rambam, as a general principle, speaks very strongly that about how we have the ability to choose. A person shouldn't think that, you know, he was created with some sort of nature under some sort of circumstances, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to choose one decision over the other. He's very emphatic that that's a false idea, that no behavior is predetermined, and everyone has the ability to choose. However, he says there are some cases where a person's past behavior has been so egregious and so terrible that Hashem, as a punishment, will take away their ability to repent. And he says this in Hilchos Tshuva in source number 2. He says, "Ve'efshar she'echad adam chet gadol o chatayim rabim." Either person will commit such an egregious sin or many sins. Ad she'itin ledin lefnei din ha'emes she'he hiparos mizeh chot al chatayim elu she'aseh b'ritzono midata. So Hashem will repay the transgressor. He'll take retribution from the transgressor for those sins which he willfully did, and in payment for that, shemona mimenu atshuva, And he'll take away the ability to repent, and so that he'll die and be wiped out because of his sin. And how does this apply to Paro? Up until then, Paro did many terrible things, including Haba Nischachma Lo. He said, let us be, outsmart them. Let's go. And he had the decree to kill the baby boys and to throw them in the water. He oppressed the people, the Parach, excessively. And in payment for that, his record was already filled with Chataim Rabim, with many sins, the Rabbim says. So at a certain point, this hardening his heart and seemingly taking away the ability to repent was a punishment. Meaning you commit a crime, there's a certain sentence. The crime of all of these terrible sins that Paro did, what's the sentence? The sentence is taking away the free choice to do tshuva. So we see, on the other hand, that our freedom of choice and the opportunity for tshuva is a gift. And it's a gift that can sometimes be taken away. But according to the Rambam's understanding, Hashem did actually take away Paro's free will. And you could ask, well, is it fair to punish him to then bring about the plagues? So according to the Rambam, it would be yes. Not necessarily because his refusing to free the slaves. That was already when his free will was taken away. But it was part of the whole package of the punishment. That for what he did up until now, his punishment was his free choice would be taken away, and he would be punished with the plagues and wouldn't have the opportunity to repent. And granted, the Rambam says that this is a rare case, but this was what happened with Paro. And this is something that is seen elsewhere in Tanakh. For example, in the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, you had the sons of Eli HaKohen, who the Tanakh says were unscrupulous. They were B'nai Belial. And they would eat from the offerings. They would act dishonestly in their position as Kohanim. So it says there that Hashem resolved that they should die, which is taken to mean that because they had acted as they did, the door to repentance was closed. But it's something that many of the commentaries have a problem with, because we have such a fundamental principle that a person is always able to choose between good and evil and is always given the opportunity to repent. So how do we explain? That's the Radak commenting on the story about Eli's sons. So he says that, no, the opportunity for repentance is always open. So what's the difference? What happened here in the case of the sons of Eli? He says, usually Hashem waits anxiously for people to return, and he makes it easier for people to return. A person may not be so inspired to repent, but sometimes Hashem will help him out, will give him the inspiration that he needs, and they really open up that door for tshuva. The Radak is saying, in this case, what did Hashem do? He didn't make it easier. He didn't extend his hand, as it were, the way he normally does. Rather, he made it more difficult, but the Radak says that if they decided on their own to repent, they still had the ability to do so, and their repentance would have been accepted. So it wasn't a done deal, and this could be how he understands the Rambam, that maybe even in the case of Paro, that at that point he could have maybe chosen to change his ways, but Hashem wouldn't have helped him in the way that he helps other people.
I mean, so you're accepting the concept that in the Umos Olam, there's this concept of tshuva, that it's not restricted to Klal Yisrael, to Bnei Yisrael?
Yeah, I think there's
I'm saying, who are they going to make tshuva to? I mean, if they don't believe in Ribbono Shel Olam, so what are they having tshuva against, around who? To who? To their gods?
Right, I mean, if Paro acknowledged the Ribbono Shel Olam, but yeah, that would be assuming
at the end he did.
At the end, right.
Yeah, but not during the time that he was getting the makas. So I mean, how could you say that that he, the concept of tshuva, he couldn't apply it? To who?
Well, specifically because while the mockers were happening, you should have realized that it was Hashem performing that.
It's like a chicken egg story. I mean, if you don't believe in Hashem, you can't do tshuva to Hashem. So.
Right, but once Hashem, once the prophet of Hashem tells you all these things are going to happen, they're going
to
happen.
But he still didn't come to believe in him.
So that was part and parcel of his sin.
Shabbat.
I think that was part and parcel of it. You have such clear evidence and you're not going to believe. So, you know, that's sinful in and of itself. And I think that was the root of his sin. But as far as the Umosa Olam who believe in Hashem doing Shuvah, as you see that
if they believe in Hashem, that's fine. I understand.
Right.
Here you have an object proof that he didn't believe in Hashem.
Or was happening. Right. Or was being more stubborn and closing his eyes to all of the evidence. But right. I think that's part and parcel of his evil, that he was unwilling to recognize God, even when it was staring him in the face.
Okay.
But the assumption seems to be that we take the Rambam's approach, and certainly the approaches of others that we'll see, is that had Hashem not made it more difficult, a person in Paro's situation who was intellectually honest would have been able to see that it was Hashem. It was only because Hashem made this more difficult that he either refused to believe it or maybe even didn't believe it.
Okay.
So that's the approach that really in as a punishment for some past behavior, Hashem took away Paro's free will, and whether it was a complete removal of free will or just that it made it more difficult to repentance, basically at this point the hardening of the heart was a punishment. Ultimately, it was a punishment. Say, why did Hashem do it? Hashem was punishing Paro for what he had done up until then. The Svarno and the Ramban have a pretty drastically different understanding. The Svarno says that it wasn't a punishment at all. It was an opportunity. It was an opportunity. Hashem, through bringing about the Makos and hardening it, well, through hardening his heart, was making it possible and still leaving open the possibility that Paro could repent fully and could repent sincerely. Why? Because if you were speaking about if his heart wasn't hardened, so what do you think a normal person would have done in that situation? He sees that all of these calamities are coming to his kingdom. Probably would have let them go, right? It's clearly at a certain point that it, at least from reading it, it doesn't seem like it was very beneficial to have them around, right? He wasn't whatever usefulness they had, and they probably did. At this point, it seemed like it was just bringing one disaster after another. So just strategically, it would seem to be the wise decision to let them go. Also, we know that his advisors were pleading with him that in Egypt is being destroyed, let the people go. So the Svarno says that if Paro's heart or mind wasn't influenced, so Paro certainly would have let them go early on, maybe whether it was the blood or the frogs, you know, early on in the process, he wouldn't have needed to have all 10 for him to finally relent. So he would have let them go. But why would he have let them go? Not because he acknowledged God or came to the realization that that his behavior was unjust. He would have gone because it's like having your arm twisted. You don't necessarily, it's like confessing under torture. You're not doing it sincerely. You're doing it only because you want to avoid the torture, only because in this case, because he wants to stop the plagues, but not because he actually had a change of heart or is willing to rectify his ways. So the Svarno says, and the Ramban has a similar approach, is that, so what was Hashem doing? Hashem was in fact creating an opportunity. He was making it so that Paro still had the opportunity to let them go on principle and not because of the pressure. If his heart wasn't hardened, so then we would have let them go because of the pressure. But he made it so that Paro could withstand the pain. And now he still had the choice, the clarity that he had in the beginning to make a decision. Do I want to let them go or not? So it sounds like, according to the Svarno, that in some ways the hardening of the heart was a gift. It was saying, you still have the opportunity to do what he says, that tshuva amitit, to do sincere, honest tshuva, and then I won't consider as if you just did it because it was under pressure. How do you like that?
Maybe President Trump learned Sorno. Somebody taught him this Sorno, and he basically also went right to the end. Okay, I mean, God was sending him signals throughout the last couple of months, you know, one after the other, he's getting smashed out, but he didn't listen. He just kept on going his direction.
Right, right. So I mean, without commenting on the politics, I thought the same thing. Is that at a certain point,
right? You say
it was no longer beneficial. There must have been, and we'll see. There may be a unique way that Hashem intervenes when it comes to rulers. But and the current events have to. If anyone doesn't believe that the Rosh Hashanah is in charge, based on current events,
right?
It's even though it wasn't beneficial, so he's given something to withstand that. And now the choice was, it was going to be a matter of principle. You're not going to, in other words, get the easy way out by just doing it under pressure. You have the opportunity to let them go as a matter of principle.
Right. Interesting. Okay.
And the Ramban is a similar idea, but approaches it from a slightly different angle. He says that Hashem had a goal in all of this. And it quotes from the pasuk in Yecheskel that viskadalti viskadashti, that I'll be great and I'll be sanctified. He wanted to make a kiddush Hashem, right? He wanted to show that Hashem had particular hashkacha over the Jewish people and was in charge of the world and was even more powerful than any of the world leaders. And he knew it would be a big kiddush Hashem if a world leader such as Paro acknowledged God and let them go because he acknowledged that God was greater. And he says that could have happened in two ways. It could have happened either without the plagues, and Paro listened to Moshe, and Moshe was speaking in the name of God and let them go. That would have been a great Kiddush Hashem. You see, a world leader is acknowledging God and is letting all of his slaves go, or all of his at least Jewish slaves go, because God told him to. But when he was unwilling to do that, Hashem had to make this Kiddush Hashem in another way. So he said it wouldn't have been a much of a Kiddush Hashem for him to let them go under pressure, right? Similar to what the Sforno says, it wouldn't have been a decision that was based on principle. It was a decision based because he was under pressure. Rather, Hashem had to, like the Sforno says, he hardened his heart so that even when it was under pressure, it still had to be a decision that was made at a principle. So the Sforno is emphasizing more from Paro's perspective, that Paro had a personal opportunity to do tshuva. The Ramban is emphasizing it from a Kiddush Hashem perspective, that if Paro was unwilling to let them go without the plagues, so then it had to be clear that that even with the plagues, he was letting them go because of a principal decision, not just because he was having his arm twisted.
But, you could ask yourself whether it's a bigger Kiddush Hashem to respond to something that Hashem does to you and change your way initially, just with one, or with multiple up to 10, where, you know, so God punished him so much that he had to give in. So it's not really like Kiddush Hashem. He finally let us go because enough's enough. You know, he couldn't handle it anymore. So that's not really a Kiddush Hashem. I mean, normal people would say, okay, I mean, how many times can I get hit?
Right. But he was doing it right. But it was the distinction that if his heart was softened, then he would have let them go, not because of the honor of God. But Hashem, in other words, is saying, you have to let them go because you have to let them go out of principle. So I'm going to make it harder for you to just cave because of the pressure. You have to eventually say, and as Paro does say, that Hashem is just, you have to acknowledge that. I'm not going to let you get off easy by just caving into the pressure. It's like you have to get up there and make a statement. And another idea that the Ramban brings up is the concept that, and I'm glad you mentioned the recent current events. I think it's very relevant. The Pasuk in Mishle says, Palgei Mayim Lev Melech B'yad Hashem. Like streams of water is the heart of the king in the hand of Hashem. Kol Asher Yafbots Yatenu. Wherever he wishes, he directs it. So there's an idea that the Ramban says regarding Paro, but a more general idea that when it comes to freedom of choice, once you become a world leader, your freedom of choice is greatly diminished. Right, so that's one thing you trade in. You get inaugurated, or you're sent to the throne. Then your free choice is diminished. I remember I heard quoted from Herschel Schachter before the last election. They asked, and I don't know, either who do you think would win or who you support. And I heard it that he's quoted as saying, I'm not sure who'll be better, but one thing is for sure that whoever is elected will have their bechira chafshis greatly diminished. They're signing that away. And that's the idea. The idea is that world leaders have a diminished ability for free choice. And the Rabbah explains why is that? Why should that be? Because you can't just let world leaders make whatever choice they want. The Rabbah says that, that this is just and wise. For the king were left to his own, to his total freedom, there could be great danger to that nation. So this is therefore God doesn't give this control to the king, but rather directs his behavior in a certain direction so that certain world events and decisions will be made. You see that world leaders, it could be that Paro was, in addition to his behavior, was subject to this idea, this reality that Hashem influenced is the hearts of kings. Rabbeinu Yonah also says on this that Nesha Rabim Tuluya Bimelech, that many people are dependent on the king. So he says it's irresponsible to just let world leaders act on their own. Rather, Hashem has to direct them in a certain direction. We often don't know why they're directed in a certain way, but tell me, in the last couple of years, I don't know, it seems pretty clear that Hashem is that the world leaders are not acting on their own. It seems pretty clear that Lev Melachim Biyad Hashem, the hearts of the kings are in the hand of Hashem. I think it becomes very clear. People have done things that are so surprising. We don't, of course, always know Hashem's ways, but you see it's very true. And the example that you gave of recent events seems to be, really doesn't to be quite extraordinary and consistent with this concept.
Yeah.
The last idea to explain Paro's hardened heart and why Hashem made it so difficult for him to repent, the Maharal has a fascinating idea, somewhat of a scary idea. He says, fundamentally, why is someone able to do tshuva? Right? On what basis are they able to argue that they're deserving of tshuva? True tshuva is a gift, but why am I? What right do we have to demand or to request even that Hashem forgives us? What do you think?
Say again, what's the question?
What claim do we have to request that Hashem forgives us? Why should tshuva be an option?
I mean, by all normality, it shouldn't be, but it's a chesed that Rosh Hashanah gave us.
So it's a chesed. It's only a chesed. That's for sure. An interesting idea that the Maharal says is essentially when a person begs for forgiveness, so what he's saying is that my decision wasn't a result of calculated intellectual choice. It was, we're all human, we're subject to our desires. Our desires often cause us to behave in ways that we don't want to. But what can we do? We're human. They're the different poles of the goof, of the physical. But intellectually, I didn't have any intention of sinning. Intellectually, I believe in Hashem. I want to follow the Torah. But sometimes my body and physicality draws me in different directions. And he says that's basically what from a justice point of view, that's why we're able to request forgiveness. You can say, it's, I'm not the person who did that. It wasn't really me. Right? I want to be a good person. When I sinned, I was overtaken by other temptations, financial, physical, whatever it is. But really, I want to be an Eved Hashem, and that's the real me. So I was acting according to the pull of my goof, of my body, but not according to my intellect. He said, Paro, on the other hand, and like Paro, certain other particularly wicked people, their evil was based in the intellect. Theirs was a calculated intellectual decision. So from that perspective, it was much more difficult for him to repent, because he couldn't make the claim that this wasn't the real me.
But the true according to the Rambam is the three things. I mean, you can't just say, okay, next time I'm going to do better. I mean, you got to actually do something in a concrete way.
Right. And the Rambam actually says there that a person who does this full tshuva, Hashem will testify that he's essentially is not the same person that he was. So you see that tshuva is also a transforming of the self, and it's consistent right. with what the Maharal is saying.
That's a change of self.
It's a change of self, because essentially tshuva is saying, you can't say I'm still the sinner, but I want to be good. No, it's now either I was and I fell to my temptations, or maybe I wasn't. Maybe my intellect was negative. But when you come to do tshuva, you're saying now I'm myself. My aspirations are in the direction of Avodas Hashem, and that's the person who I want to be. So nice. I think more time talking about this, but I think what emerges from this discussion is that our ability to choose between good and evil is a tremendous gift, a gift that it's frightening, but that some extreme scenarios Hashem could take away. At the same time, many understand that we do always have the ability to choose, at least our power of choice may be diminished, but we do have that ability to choose. But I think we should learn a lesson from Paro, and this is what ultimately Hashem did want to teach us, is that we have to recognize when Hashem is giving us those signs. We have to acknowledge that they're from Hashem, and to realize that there's always an opportunity to return to Hashem, to act in the way that he wants. But we can't and we ought not to harden our hearts and be resistant to Hashem's messages, but open our hearts, soften them to be able to receive them. Have a great Shabbos.
Very nice. Thank you very much.